You can tell I'm going to have a tough time speaking today. So if you could just bear with me. Days like this, you wish, come Jesus, come, right? In heaven, there will be no cedar trees, and therefore no cedar allergies. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. And as you are looking up those verses, just a quick reminder that next Sunday, we're not going to meet here for our Sunday celebration because we will be at our retreat site. And so we're going to be actually worshiping there together Sunday morning and then coming back for those of us who are not able to join us for the retreat. If you want to join us for our Sunday celebration, the directions will be on our website and so forth. But if you come here next Sunday, why is no one here? It's either rapture or we're just on our way back from the retreat, right? I'm just kidding. So, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. And I've been thinking and meditating on this passage a little bit because we're in the season of the One Desire Fast. We're fasting together as the church to really seek God's heart for us. And that season is going to lead us into the retreat. And really the theme is, God, send us out. And it comes from the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah encountered really the glory of God, and that glory of God, through that encounter, that he was able to respond to God's heart. When God says, who shall go before me? Who shall go to my people? Isaiah said, here I am. And that's what Pastor Rebbe is going to be encouraging us along in. And so really, when I think about it, this is going to be the flow for our church. So we're about to finish off our One Desire Fast, entering into the retreat. And the week after the retreat, that Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, which means we're going to be entering into a season of Lent. So Lent being 40 days before Easter. And during the Lent season, we're really going to be focusing in on God, send us out and really help us to love the people around us. And it's not just for the sake of inviting people to come to our Easter celebration, because it's not the Easter celebration that transforms people. But we want to encounter, we really hope that as we go out to share the gospel, that people will encounter the gospel, because we know that it's the gospel that transforms people. And so we're really going to be praying and asking God for fruits of salvation. And so during the season of praying and fasting, last week we talked about how we want to experience breakthroughs as we're praying together as the church. And so we talked about how we want to experience breakthroughs specifically in the areas of realizing the grace of God over our lives and really experiencing God's reign over our lives as well. And so we want to go on that theme a little bit more today, and we want to talk about this passage together. So let's go ahead and read this Luke 10 passage. I know that this is a familiar story for many of us, and I'm actually going to be talking about the first half of this parable instead of actually getting into the parable itself. Okay, so verses 25 through 28, and this is the word of God, and it says, "And behold, the lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Okay, we'll stop there. And so if you read through the entire parable, it's really interesting because it starts with a question, this lawyer asking Jesus a question of how do I inherit eternal life, and then it ends with Jesus asking this question back to this lawyer, which one of these three is the neighbor, right? And so we want to talk about two observations. So first of all, we want to talk about the question, and then after that, we want to talk about the challenge. So I want us to think about this question a little bit, because I think this is a familiar passage for many of us. But the question is, and the question that I want to I want for us to focus in on isn't the question of what shall I do to inherit eternal life, and then the second question that people usually focus on is who is my neighbor. Rather, I want us to focus on this question of what is written in the law. How do you read it? Because that was Jesus' response to this lawyer when he comes up to him and says, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus asks, responds to him, and he always does this whenever, not always, but he often does this whenever someone asks him a question, he responds by what? Exactly, asking another question, right? So the question that Jesus asks this lawyer is, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And so the situation is this lawyer is an expert in the Jewish laws, religious laws. And so he knows the Old Testament in and out, inside out, right? He's very familiar with the laws. And so he comes, and it tells us specifically that he stands up to put Jesus to the test. So he comes to test Jesus by posing this question, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so when you think about it, I mean, this is a question that many of us, as well as people out there, are wrestling with. This question of what happens to me when I die? And what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And so think about the question that is being asked here, right? This question of what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Because when you think about what this lawyer is saying, it really sums up what the Jews were pursuing after in their worship of God. So this is the paradigm. So if you were to think about it in terms of a paradigm. So the paradigm is there is this X that you want. This is the destination. And so in this case, that X is eternal life with God. So this person is aiming for that goal, that X, that eternal life with God. And then in order for us to get to X, then you need the ABCs, right? And so what this person is asking Jesus is, okay, this is the goal that I'm trying to attain. So what are the ABCs? What are the steps? What is this path that I need to be on in order for me to experience eternal life? And if we were to really think about this question, I think for the lawyer as he's approaching Jesus to ask him this question, really there is this underlining assumption, right? And this underlining assumption is that really his pursuit of God, it's about and for himself. So he's coming from this assumption that as I'm pursuing God, it's about for me and for myself. So it's about how he's growing closer to God. It's about how he's becoming a better person by observing God's laws. It's about how he's feeling like he's growing and knowing God more and more. So it's about and for himself. So that's the underlining assumption. And so when you think about what this lawyer is asking of Jesus and this underlining assumption that this lawyer is carrying into this conversation with Jesus, when you think about it, it's not really that different from how we approach in following Jesus. Because when you think about it, as people who are thinking about, okay, what does it mean to be a disciple? Or what does it mean to follow Jesus? Or when we think about things like, so what does it, why do I participate in certain religious activities and so forth? Why do I come out to church or go to life group or sign up for retreat and all that stuff? Really, the primary focus, it's about who? It's about me. It's about for and me, right? So it's about me growing closer to Jesus, or it's about me becoming that better or more faithful Christian, or it's about me feeling like I know God more. And so it's this paradigm of, in this relationship with God, this is what I'm aiming for because it's about me. And it's for me. And this is what I need to do to get to what I'm aiming for. Right? This is the paradigm that this lawyer is approaching Jesus with. And when you think about it, the reality is this is the paradigm that many of us come to Jesus with as well. And so it's this example of, okay, if I want to grow closer to Jesus, then as someone who goes to church, I'm going to do things like read the Bible. That's A. Or I'm going to go out to life group. That's B. Or I'm going to try to obey the things that Jesus tells me to do. That's C. And so whether you like it or not, what happens then is that this quickly turns into the system of you trying your best to earn God's grace. You trying your best to earn God's love for you. And I know that you've heard this many times, but there's a difference between hearing it and actually realizing that this is how your life is operating, right? Because as soon as I say this, some of you will come back to me and say, Pastor Ben, I know that salvation is through grace alone, that it's through faith alone. And what I would say to that is, that's great that you know that salvation is through grace and faith alone. But if we're honest with ourselves, for many of us, this pursuit of trying to live out our faith, this pursuit of, I don't know, trying to attain certain maturity in our faith, the reality is that for many of us, it's about us trying to live out our faith and growing in our maturity by our own efforts. So it's about the things that we do versus the things that we don't do. Inevitably, it turns into that. And so that's why for many of us, and including myself, the question that we are constantly wrestling with is the question of how am I doing? Right? During the One Desire fast, as I'm fasting and as you're reading the Bible, the question that you're inevitably asking yourself is, how am I doing? How am I doing in light of my relationship with God? And regardless of whether you would like to admit it or not, it's because you're operating under the system of what? Trying to obtain maturity and growth by your own strength and your own methods. And that's not necessarily a bad question, because I think we do need to wrestle from time to time with this question of how I am doing. But if that's the primary question that's driving us, then what we realize is that there is no life. Listen to how Hall and Cook, this is how they describe this in this book that they wrote. They say this, and I quote, "Any spirituality exclusively or even just primarily focused on this question is cut off from real life and vitality. It's trapped, imprisoned. It leads to highly educated people who have no real outlets for their knowledge and desire. They often grow tired and give up, and the desire for more dissipate into the tissues of ordinary life. The problem is, while the question of how am I doing is really satisfying to the ego, the concerns of our spirit are wholly different. We were designed to do the most satisfied when we're focusing, forgetting ourselves, and focusing on others." And so it's really interesting when you think about what they're saying, that we often grow tired and give up. It's not because of what we don't know. It's not because of lack of knowledge, but it's because we have no outlet to really live out what we know. And so if we're constantly asking ourselves this question of, okay, so how am I doing? In other words, how am I measuring up? Then this spirituality that we're practicing, it becomes exclusive to you, because it's about you and your relationship with God. And so everything gets measured through that lens. And I think that's the underlying assumption that Jesus is wanting to challenge this lawyer with. And I think for many of us, that's the underlying assumption that Jesus is wanting to challenge you with. Because look at how Jesus responds. When this lawyer stands up and says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" Right? He says, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And of course, he knows. Jesus knows that this man is an expert in the law. So when Jesus poses this question of, well, How do you read the law? What's written in it? He knows that this man is going to be able to answer it correctly. And so this man answers, and he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's really interesting, because when you think about it, basically what they're saying is that the entirety of the Old Testament, right, from Genesis to all the prophets and all the stories and all the you shouldn't do this and you should eat this and can't eat that, all of that, it reduces down to these two truths, which is that you are called to love God and that you are called to love your neighbors. And Jesus affirms that answer and he says, do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. Now you really have to think about, okay, so what is Jesus telling this man here, right? Because oftentimes at this point, what we do is we skip to then the parable of the Samaritan. And then we begin to think about, okay, who is my neighbor? But before that, Jesus is trying to challenge this man. And so what is this challenge that Jesus is bringing into his heart? And so you have to think about this and you have to realize the irony in what Jesus is saying. Because what Jesus is trying to test in this man, it's not just his knowledge of what he knows. But through this challenge, Jesus is wanting to what? To drive him to this reality. And this reality simply is the reality of what does God want from you? So you being an expert in the Jewish laws, you being someone who has engaged in worship of God all of your life, you being someone who has devoted his life in pursuit of God, how do you answer this question, this reality of what does God want from you? And when you think about it, what Jesus is doing here in this exchange is that Jesus is challenging this man's assumption, this person's assumption of it's about me, therefore I need to constantly be measuring myself through the question of how am I doing, right? Because if it's about you, then how are you going to measure the progress that you're making is by asking yourself the question of how am I doing in that, through that process. And so that's what Jesus is challenging this man with. And look at how Jesus affirms this entire process. So when this man answers correctly, and when he says, yeah, it's about loving God and it's about loving your neighbors, Jesus says, yes, that's exactly what it is. He says, it is about loving God. But here's the catch. When you think about it, I mean, this lawyer, he's been trying to do this all of his life, right? He's been trying to love God all of his life, yet Jesus is telling him, yes, it's about loving God. So if you love God, you will live. And what Jesus is pointing to is this reality that it's not possible for us to love God by measuring how we are doing, right? Because this person, he's been trying to love God through this question of how am I doing? How do you know whether you're loving God or not? Well, you know whether you're loving God or not by answering that question of how am I doing? But Jesus says, no, that's wrong, because you can never love God enough. So when God says to love me, it's not about this question of, okay, God wants me to love me, so how am I doing in that process? And what Jesus is pointing out is this reality that ultimately you can't love God. Right? Jesus, there's a little tongue-in-cheek going on here, because Jesus knows that this expert in the law is not able to love God, and that's why Jesus is going to the cross. And so when he says, yes, do this and you will live, what Jesus is reminding or pointing out to this person is that, you know what? There's nothing that you can do to love God. You can never do enough to to love God. You can never memorize the Word of God enough to love God. You can never obey His laws enough to love God. You can never offer enough sacrifices to love God. And the Word of God tells us, really, the only way for us to love God is to realize that God has loved us first. So when Jesus says, yes, it's true that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, He's not saying, go and do it. But what He's saying is that, yes, for you to love God in this way, what that means is that you have to respond to God's love for you first. And it's as we begin to accept His love for us first, then we begin to what? Rest in His grace. And that's what the gospel is, right? That while we were still sinners, while there was no thought in us to say, I want God, that Jesus came to die for our sins on the cross. And the reason why we are able to respond to His love for us is because He took that step forward in loving us first. And that's what we call grace. That God demonstrated His mercy for us, something that we did not deserve. And I think what Jesus was pointing this man to was this reality that the laws of God, it's not about rules that you need to obey. But the laws of God points us to a person that we need to trust. Because later on, Jesus would declare that He came to what? Fulfill the law. That He came to do the very thing that we were not able to do. So that whenever we think about the laws of God, it doesn't point us to, okay, we need to obey this absolutely 100% all the time, but it points us to the reality that there is a person who has come to do what we were not able to do. And it points us to the reality of what Jesus has done for us. And so what I want us to understand is simply this, that Jesus in this conversation is pointing the man as well as all of us to this point. And that point is simply this, that it's not about you arriving. Right? It's not about you arriving. It's not about you arriving in this place where somehow you feel closer to Jesus, or it's not about you arriving in this place where you're becoming a better person, or feeling like somehow you know God more. But He says it's not about arriving, but it's about abiding. It's as we begin to abide in His grace, as we begin to abide in His mercy, in His love for us, that's how we can grow in our response to His love for us. Because when you think about it, if your paradigm is it's about me arriving, it's about me arriving to a specific place where I feel more mature, it's about me arriving to a specific place in my life where I love God more, then there's two things that's going to happen. Either you're going to become very proud, right? Because you feel like you can do it, you can accomplish it, which means then you don't really need anything else. So when people ask you questions like, what is God teaching you now? Well, I don't know, because I already know everything. You become proud, either that or you become very discouraged, because you realize that you will never arrive at that place that you are hoping and aiming and wanting and desiring. And so not only do you become discouraged, but what happens? You burn out, because you're constantly running the cycle of, okay, I'm trying to arrive, not there, trying to arrive, not there, trying to arrive, not there. Guess what? You give up and you say it's not worth it. But Jesus says it's not about arriving, but it's about abiding. It's about abiding in the love of God. It's about trusting and resting in what He has done for us. And as we can And if we begin to understand that it's about abiding in His love, that's when we are able to what? Love others. That's when we're able to love our neighbors. That our focus, it shifts of what it means for us to follow Christ. That focus shifts from, I need to get closer to Jesus, to, I want to love others. Because when you think about what this person is asking, he's asking, how do I get closer to God? But what Jesus is pointing him to is, how are you loving the people around you? Because the reality is that if God loved you first, then regardless of how you feel, you're already close to Him. So there is no longer this need in your heart to feel like I need to arrive, right? I need to arrive in His love. I need to arrive in His acceptance. I need to arrive in His mercy, because you're already there. And so if you're already there, and if you have the assurance of the Father, and as He begins to pour out His mercy and His grace into your heart, what that does is that begins to transform your heart so that it's no longer about how am I doing, but it's about how am I loving the people around me. So the question of how am I doing, it changes to this question of, first of all, how can God be this good? So that when we come to worship, it's not this question of, okay, how am I doing in this worship? How am I doing in this praying process? How am I doing in this fasting? How am I doing as I'm reaching out to my friend? But it's, how can God be this good? And that drives us to, how am I doing in loving others? How am I loving the people? And this is the conviction that I had. And that conviction simply is that same question that Jesus asked this lawyer. What is written in the law? How do you read it? I think that's the same question that He's asking us over and over and over again. This question of, what does God want from you? Right? What does God want from you? That as you are seeking Him, as you are worshiping Him, what does God want from you? And my question to all of you is, how will you respond? And I think some people would say that, well, what God wants for me and from me is that I would arrive at a certain place in my relationship with Him, in my understanding of Scripture, in my devotion to Him, in my obedience. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that those things are not important. But I think what Jesus would remind us today is this reality that God wants you not to arrive, but for you to abide in what He has done for you. And as you begin to abide in what He has done for you, then He sends you out to love others. And so this is the one thing that we're going to close out with. The one thing simply for us is this. That it's about responding to God's love for us. And it's about loving those around us. That it's about responding to God's love for us as we abide in Him. And it's about loving those around us. How am I abiding in Him? And how am I loving those around us? Okay. Let's pray together. Stand with me as we close out. Think about that question. Right? That question of Jesus saying, what is written in the law? How do you read it? In other words, What does God demand of you? Right, as you stand here in this place, entering into this place of worship, I'm sure many of us have some sort of an idea or notion of this is what God demands of me. But what God demands of you, is it based on what you are doing for Him, or is it based on what He has already done for you? How are you measuring what God wants from you? Are you measuring it by how am I doing? Or are you measuring it by because God abides in my life? Because I don't have to earn anything from Him, because He has already freely poured out His grace and His love and His mercy into my life. And I'm constantly wrestling with this question of how can He be so good? That my heart, that it is bombarded, it is filled, it's challenged with this question of how am I loving the people around me? And I think this was such an important question for me this past week, because we're about to finish off the One Desire Fast and enter into the retreat and go into the season where we as a church, we're going to say, okay, let's focus on loving others. But it's so easy. It's going to be so easy for us to make this about, okay, how am I doing? So if I'm fasting, that means that I'm doing okay, versus if I slip up, that means I'm not, right? If I go to the retreat, that means I'm doing okay, versus if I don't, then I'm not, or maybe you don't care. If I'm reaching out to people, that means that I'm doing good. This is what God wants me to do. It's so easy for us to start measuring in terms of, okay, God, you saved me through grace, but now let me take it from here and let me try to work out through my efforts, through my abilities. But I feel like Jesus is wanting to rein us back to say, no, it's not about you arriving at a destination. It's not about at the end of the One Desire Fasting, you arriving at a certain place of maturity. It's not about this retreat that's coming up for somehow for you to experience certain things so that you're arriving in this destination. No, it's not about you arriving, but it's about you realizing that you are abiding, and that as you abide, that you have the freedom to be able to love the people around you. It doesn't mean that you're going to do it perfectly. And that's why we turn to His heart over and over again. But now our shift, our focus, it shifts, it changes. So that when we come to church, it no longer is this question of how am I doing, but it's about, gosh, I have this privilege of loving the people around me. It's about when we make decisions, it's not based on how am I doing, but it's about I'm loving the people. I'm loving the people that God has brought into my life. Because all of God's laws and desires and decrees, that it's about ultimately loving God, and it's about loving our neighbors. And we know that there's nothing that we can do to love God the way that He wants us to love Him. But we don't have to worry about it, because He's already made a way. so that as we respond to His love, that in that love that we're able to love our neighbors. And so as you stand here in this place, I want you to hear the question that Jesus is asking all of us today. That question of what is written? How do you read it? What does God desire from you today? Desires is to abide in my love. And that as you begin to abide in my love, to go and love the people that I have brought into your life. I know it's a very simple message, but if you think about it, if that's the question that you're asking yourselves every single day, right? This Christian faith, this Christian life of how we do our faith and spiritual maturity and all that. If you were to ask yourself these two questions every single day, how can God be this good? And how am I loving the people around you? I guarantee you that even though it's such simple questions, it will radically change your life. There's a reason why God said, pointing to the children, Jesus said, you have to be like one of these to enter into my kingdom. Because it's not just about what you know, but it's about what you embrace and it's about what you live. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us into a time of prayer. And as we pray together for things that are coming up for us as a church, as we pray together for ourselves and for one another, I want you to step into His presence with this confidence, knowing that as you come before Him today, that you are already loved and accepted. And because you are already loved and accepted, that you don't have to worry about how am I doing. But then you can begin to engage with the heart of Christ. And as you engage with the heart of Christ, it becomes this question of how am I loving the people that God has brought into my life. So let's do that together for a little bit, okay? So can I just invite us to pray for yourselves and for your heart, thinking about this question of what does God want from me today as I stand before Him? Pray through, what does it mean for you to love God? What does it mean for you to love your neighbors? And ask the Spirit of God to come and speak His convictions into your heart, okay? So let's start from that place. And let's begin to pray through these truths, these words of Jesus, and ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us to lean into His heart for us today. So let's start to pray for that together. Okay, let's pray through that together.